The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
A few quotes from Albert Einstein to consider as we start this broadcast of Dire News for the week of July 8th, 2017. From Albert Einstein, great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. Another from Mr. Einstein, the thing about smart people is they sound like crazy people to dumb people. A third quote from Mr. Einstein, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the universe. My thanks to Ron Hall for bringing two of those quotes to my attention. The third and final quote I've been familiar with for a very long time. It is something that is impossible to deny if we examine the behavior of the human race as a whole. It has been said that man is a creature governed by ideology, and indeed, the ideology of ignorance rules the day. This is Dane Wigington for, again, the weekly edition of Global Alert News for July 8th, 2017. This is a commercial-free news hour, which is not nearly enough to cover the news, but I'll do my best. That's why we have no commercials here. There's too much to cover. It's happening too fast on too many fronts, and too many people still asleep at the wheel. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News Hour is also aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Saturdays, the Gary Knoll Radio News Network. My thanks to Gary for all his work for the common good. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org, the KQMS archives. Also, geoengineeringwatch.org under the Recent Radio and Top Stories section. Weekly notice, as always, with one new caveat. At Orchard Nutrition, very important informational materials are available to the public for free if you promise to put them to use. That's all we ask. We try to supply what we can at our own expense to try to get the word out. One new item there now, a 20-page full-color glossy booklet that contains the most hard-hitting, inarguable data on climate engineering available, including government documents, satellite imagery that will shock you. Pick up a free booklet, examine it, read it, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and do more investigation. Those are at Orchard Nutrition now for free if you promise to put them to use, along with commercial copies of our informational DVD with multiple presentations and another DVD that outlines the incredibly dire forced vaccination issue and how dangerous vaccinations really are. More data on that coming to light every single day. And how simple could that be to figure out that injecting aluminum into your veins, into your body, is toxic? On that note, there is a new documentary called Injecting Aluminum. How simple is this? It's like drinking fluoride in your water, a toxic industrial waste, fluoride. What do you think those in power have intended when they force populations to be exposed to neurotoxins that damage their ability to think clearly, objectively, assertively? What do you think those in power have in mind? And why is the population so willing to be poisoned? Why is the population so willing to volunteer to be poisoned? Indeed, why is the population so adamant about defending being poisoned? In the case of vaccinations, how many defend vaccinations as if there's some sort of benefit to the human body, injecting toxic metals? We're living in an insane asylum. I encourage everybody again at Orchard Nutrition, pick up a copy of very informative, fact-filled DVDs, Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story of Vaccination. Spread them, share them, copy them. Help us to sound the alarm. Another announcement, July 28th, again, at the Red Line Hotel in Reading. There will be flyers at Orchard in the coming days for this event, starting doors open at 4 o'clock, first presentation at 6 o'clock. This is a free public informational event, critical information about lethal vaccinations, the incredibly destructive and dangerous climate engineering programs, and just how criminally corrupt our government is. Three presentations, including former CIA decorated officer Kevin Shipp, frontline physician Sherry Tenpenny, and geoengineeringwatch.org, myself with a presentation there on climate engineering. Free materials, Red Line Hotel, July 28th, Redding, California. You can find out more information also at geoengineeringwatch.org on that event. One more announcement, July 15th, Redding Library, 2:30 p.m. the truth about aerotoxic syndrome, what people don't know, the dangers they face when they fly. They're flying through a concentrated mix of atmospheric pollutants, much of it from climate engineering. And aerotoxic syndrome is very real. Many, many people getting sick because they fly, especially those that fly the most, like the pilots and the other members of carrier crews. Shocking documentary again. Reading Library, July 15th, starts at 2:30 p.m. Free materials will be there also. Moving on, because the time I have in this news hour, even though geoengineeringwatch.org pays for this news hour with no commercials, it's not nearly enough time to cover the frontline data that we face. Converging cataclysms closing in from every direction. Individuals that are the most afraid of reality, that are the most unable to find the courage to face dire realities, will lash out at anyone who attempts to present such unpleasant facts. And this includes family and close friends. Their fears are, in most cases, the overriding and all-powerful influence of their behavior. At a conscious and unconscious level, they feel if they can ridicule a messenger of truth into silence, they will somehow ensure their own comfort zone of irrational, factless denial. And what are our schools teaching our children? Anything at all about the environment on which their lives most depend? Anything? Are they being taught the truth about historical events or geopolitical issues in any accurate and truthful way? All too often, the answer is no. We would do well to remember that the truth is the first casualty of war, as the proverb goes, and history is written by the victor. The truth is seldom a part of the equation. We're living in a delusion, a real-life Truman Show. On that note, I want to give a slightly more detailed report on the new documentary I mentioned earlier in this broadcast called Injecting Aluminum. Injecting Aluminum is a new documentary by a French journalist that investigates the history of aluminum in vaccines and its devastating effects on the human body. Aluminum has been recognized as a neurotoxic element by leading researchers and scientists across the globe for decades. So why do babies in the U.S. receive up to 4,925 micrograms of aluminum within the first 18 months of their lives, and an additional 170 to 625 micrograms by the age of 6 through routine vaccinations? What are the side effects of aluminum in the human body when injected? And consider this final statement. Aluminum has been used as a vaccine additive since the 1920s. And let's not forget mercury. And let's also remember the synergism, toxic synergism between aluminum and mercury, which can increase the overall toxicity as much as 10,000%, 100 times worse. If you think vaccinations are safe, you have done no legitimate research. You are not looking at reality. A legal update on the battle to expose and halt climate engineering. Very difficult battle, ongoing. I spend hours every week on that particular aspect of the fight, conference calls with attorneys in Canada and the U.S. Many people in the anti-geoengineering movement think this is some sort of easy task to accomplish with a system that has been set up for decades to prohibit exposing these issues legally. It's not an easy battle. We're doing our best to build a watertight ship, one that we can get into court and do discovery with and bring this issue to light. So I appreciate patience and know that we are working diligently on the legal effort. The legal effort is still alive in Canada. We are getting ever closer to a filing in the U.S. We are doing our best, given the limited resources and manpower we have. Our efforts will not stop. We will not yield. We're pressing forward as fast as we can. But on that note, I want to stress the bottom line with legal action and the efforts to file legally in Canada and the U.S. revolves around reaching a critical mass of awareness. And in that battle, we need everyone to participate. Everyone is needed. If you're sitting the bench, you're a part of the problem. I would ask this: how many have made the decision to refrain from even attempting to share unpleasant but necessary to know truths due to the wish to avoid the kind of aggressive denialists I've described earlier in this program? Should we be deterred from investigating and sharing the truth just because we're surrounded by people who don't want to hear it, who don't want to know it, and who are desperately trying to keep their heads buried in the sand? And the answer is a resounding no. We We must never, ever allow willfully blind and ignorant individuals to in any way subdue our efforts to sound the alarm. Those who are awake and aware have a responsibility to help with the effort to awaken others, with the effort to expose harsh but necessary to know realities, and we must all consider this. What's your underlying motive for joining the fight for the greater good? What's your underlying motive for investigating and attempting to share need-to-know truths? If you're in this fight because you want a guarantee of success, you're not standing on solid ground. If you're trying to do the right thing, learning and sharing the truth, only because you're counting on a carved-in-stone happy ending, you are not standing on solid ground. If, on the other hand, you're doing all you can to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, regardless of the eventual outcome, you are standing on a pillar that cannot be shaken or toppled ever. The decision to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, period, that's solid ground. Such a decision can never be regretted. Such resolve cannot be shaken. The final outcome, the end of the story, is not in our hands directly. But the decision to fully dedicate ourselves to the fight for the greater good is. And always keep this in mind. If one is not looking through a clear lens, a lens that is not tainted with ideology and programmed preconceptions, then all their efforts may be, in the end, in the wrong direction. Overcoming trained ideologies and programmed preconceptions is one of the greatest challenges of our species. The herd mentality, groupthink behavior, tribal mentality of the human race is a core cause of our arrival at this dark place we now find ourselves in. Breaking this mold will require the most sincere and unrelenting effort and the motivation to change. But it can be done. It must be done, or we and the entire web of life that once existed on our formerly thriving planet has no chance. I want to continue with this rant before I get to news programs. Please bear with me. It needs to be said. As a species, we've not only shot ourselves in the foot, we have, in fact, in many ways, already shot ourselves in the head. There's no going back. The former thriving miracle planet we have once known has been irreparably damaged. It will not return to its former state in any time frame that is relevant. But even this dire reality, which is absolutely necessary to understand and face, does not mean that we have nothing left to fight for. No. What it means is this, that we must now, all of us, collectively fight with more courage and tenacity than ever before, that we must completely dedicate ourselves to the battle for the greater good. We must focus every shred of effort and energy we can summon in the battle to preserve what is yet left of Earth's life support systems. We must consider why we are here. As for myself, I truly live for exposing this insanity. I can feel that day drawing near, a day when the combined efforts of all those who refused to yield to the darkening horizon are realized. Who are the faces of those that are actually helping to hide the converging catastrophes that are closing in on all of us? How are the so-called experts helping to hide, for example, the power structure's lethal climate engineering global assault? They simply lie. They make it up as they go, and they stick to the official narrative in order to protect their paychecks and pensions. Our society is filled with cowardice. That must change. We must be willing to sacrifice whatever personal pursuits of pleasure that we had in mind for the fight for the greater good. The reality we face is not going to magically disappear if we ignore it long enough. We must face it head on. And how are many who claim to be against climate engineering actually helping to hide it while totally discrediting the anti-climate engineering movement at the same time by pushing the exact narrative that the geoengineers and the power structure want, that there's no problem with the climate system, that excess CO2 is great, the more the better, another lie, that the Earth somehow has a magical thermostat that keeps the temperature on track no matter how much destruction the human race causes to the environment. Those who think they are helping in the battle to expose and halt climate engineering, while at the exact same time buying into the totally false and completely irrational disinformation narrative that the climate is fine, that putting 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every single day is fine. That the oceans are not dying. That cutting down the forests is fine. That paving the planet is fine. That the already decimated ozone layer is fine. That using the oceans for a nuclear toxic waste dump is fine. That the lethal UV radiation we are all being exposed to is fine. And finally, the most popular false, completely counterproductive narrative of all, that global warming is a hoax and that we're entering another ice age. Please hear me if you're in this camp and you're pushing that kind of false narrative, exactly the narrative the climate engineers want you to push. You're greatly harming the critical cause of exposing and halting climate engineering. All those who choose to pretend that the constant chemical ice nucleation engineered cooldowns being carried out by the climate engineers are somehow normal and natural, and thus proof of so-called global cooling, understand that you're completely undermining the effort to expose and halt the lethal climate engineering assault. It's not about Al Gore or his hypocrisy, it's about reality. All those that are blindly following an ideological compass, please, please do some objective frontline research. Please don't believe me or anyone else. Just do some real research. Believe what you can see with your own eyes. A good start is taking the time to view the completely non-political documentary titled Chasing Ice. It can be watched online for, I believe, $3. Is it worth $3 to see indisputable frontline film footage that will allow you to come to conclusions on what you can see with your own eyes? Also, think rationally. Any form of human activity that alters the biosphere and thus the energy balance of the planet must have an impact. It cannot be otherwise. It's irrational to think so. At the top of the list of climate-altering factors is, of course, the horrifically destructive climate engineering insanity. But it's completely irrational to consider geoengineering as the only factor. How can anyone come to such a conclusion unless they're looking through a programmed lens of total ideology? Clear the lens. From climate engineering to 9/11 to the lethal vaccination dangers, we must all look at realities for what they are, not for what we wish they were. Do the climate engineers actually believe that they can create indefinite cooling of the planet by filling the skies with countless jet aircraft, each spraying tens of millions of tons of highly toxic heavy metals and ice nucleating chemicals? Some jets burning up to a gallon of jet fuel a second? In the case of military tankers, that's how much they burn. Each gallon burned producing exponentially more atmospheric pollution on top of what they're spraying? Again, I ask, do the climate engineers or the criminally insane power structure and central bankers truly believe they are buying time with climate engineering? Does what they believe even matter? Ultimately, climate engineering is about power and control, period, at any cost, at any consequence. Those in power, the central bankers, the military-industrial complex, are doing what they're doing, whatever their motives. And if it continues, the sand in the hourglass will soon enough run out for us all. So I ask again, why would anyone who claims to be fighting to expose and halt climate engineering actually push the exact false narrative that the climate engineers and the power structure wants, that global warming is a hoax, or even more false, the global cooling narrative? Don't believe me. Do some real research without bias, without preconceptions, and without ideology, and connect the dots. That's a primary motive of the climate engineers, to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of damage to the climate until the last possible moment in order to pacify that population and render them ineffective in actually being able to stand up, expose, and halt climate engineering. Real research leads to credible and verifiable conclusions. For a final note on this tirade that will perhaps upset many who do not really want reality, let me revisit the 4th of July issue one more time, just to make sure the total hypocrisy of this day is clear. As I covered in last week's broadcast, the list of countries the U.S. empire is currently occupying or completely destabilizing or has occupied and destabilized is so long that I could only cover a couple dozen of them on my July 1st broadcast and had to simply post the full link to the massive list of occupied countries on the broadcast post. But now let's consider one other glaring hypocrisy. We celebrate the battle that won our independence from those who we felt were not treating us as equals, and then implemented slavery on an unimaginable scale. Does anyone blindly celebrating the 4th of July stop to consider that one? And then there's the Native American genocide, but I covered that last week. The truth is the truth. Anything less is a lie. And for a current example of totally illegal U.S. occupation, let's consider this, and I'll get to the rest of the headlines. The U.S. is setting up yet another military occupation in another sovereign nation without invitation. From this report, with very little fanfare from the Western media, the U.S. is quietly creating a hostile military footprint inside Syria by establishing a chain of air bases, military outposts, and missile bases inside a country the U.S. is illegally stealth occupying. The number of U.S. military installations in Syria has increased to 8 bases, according to recent reports, and possibly 9, according to another military analyst. We should also not forget the malevolent presence of Israel in the illegally annexed southern Syrian territory of the Golan Heights. This could just as easily be included in the list of U.S. military outposts inside Syria from that report. How many nations will our country occupy, nations that were named by General Wesley Clark 1 week after the false flag event of 9/11 that was the pretext, the premise, for our military-industrial complex to fully unleash its insanity around the globe? And if this direction continues, game over. So to all those, back to 4th of July, to all those that will resort to dichotomous thinking and conclude that I, due to my lack of enthusiasm about the 4th of July, must hate our veterans. No, this is not the case. As I've stated countless times, I've worked with disabled Vietnam vets, heartbreaking work with men who were blown to bits over a conflict that never needed to happen, that history proves was another false flag event created by our own government. 60,000 of our brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters killed needlessly, and several million innocent foreign civilians killed needlessly. I grieve for all of this. I gave to disabled American veterans for 20 years, VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, for 20 years. And I care for those who thought they were doing the right thing without knowing or understanding the bigger picture. But when does the insanity stop? When do we, as a country, as a culture, actually open our eyes and face the whole truth? When? When does that happen? We don't have much time left. And if you don't believe this, you will soon. Wait and see. Here's headlines. Theresa May sits on report that Saudis funded terrorism. Head of the UK, Theresa May, from this report, still refuses to publish report on Saudi Arabia funding of UK extremists. Just like the US covers up the crimes of Saudi Arabia. Why? Because they need the fossil fuel battery from Saudi Arabia, fossil fuel resources, in order to fuel their military-industrial juggernaut of insanity. So therefore, the despotic, tyrannical, murderous regime of Saudi Arabia is always protected by the UK and the US. From that report about Theresa May hiding proof of Saudi terrorist funding, the report states Home Office spokesman from the UK have admitted that the report may never be released. Theresa May has been accused of burying a report about Saudi Arabia funding Islamist terrorism in the UK, for fear it may damage relations with their ally, just like the U.S., right? Remember, right after 9/11, even though it wasn't the Saudis behind that, as we all now know if we've done any research, nevertheless, nearly 100 Saudis were rounded up, no interview. If we were to believe the official narrative, wouldn't they have interviewed them? The official story that blamed it on Saudi Arabian-funded terrorists, wouldn't we have interviewed nearly 100 Saudi nationals that we rounded up and flew back to Saudi Arabia for free when no other American could fly? How many signs do we need? I want to continue on. As the climate engineering issue, which is part of the whole Saudi picture, because again, we need massive amounts of fossil fuel for many reasons for the military-industrial complex. Part of those reasons is climate engineering. Back to what I stated at the beginning of this program, some of these jet aircraft burn a gallon per second, and there are thousands of them in the air. It's impossible to comprehend the amount of resources being burned up just to fill our skies with toxic materials. It's impossible to calculate. And along those lines, what lies are we fed, as I also alluded to in the beginning of this program, from those so-called experts? Here's a report from someone named, a meteorologist named Alan Holt. from a Channel 3 news program. He states this, a plume of Saharan dust will move into the country and be here for the weekend. You may notice some sore throats and watery eyes if you're sensitive to the dust. Now, let's consider that report. If we go back at the Saharan dust excuse, and I'm not saying dust doesn't blow off Sahara, but does it cross the entire ocean and end up in Texas? And now we have reports of it in Canada and elsewhere. And this is, seems to be the excuse to help cover up at least some of the climate engineering atmospheric assault, that it's just dust blowing from the Sahara, even though we have satellite photos of massive geoengineering particulate trails being laid down all over the globe and all over the areas that it's claimed it's only Saharan dust. That's suppressing yet another cyclonic rotation, yet another hurricane in the Atlantic Basin being suppressed by this. Is that just a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that we're now into the 12th year of a major hurricane impact drought to the U.S.? 12 years, no major impact, while the rest of the world gets slaughtered? This is not an act of nature. This is climate engineering. We have known hurricane suppression methods, patents. We know that the U.S. government has been actively engaged in suppressing hurricanes. We can see it happening on radar. Is this a good thing, as some people think? Because many people conclude that. That's great. Let's suppress nature's processes and keep these hurricane impacts from happening. The attempt of the planet to cool itself. Hurricanes are a major factor. Ozone rejuvenation, major factor. Stopping ocean stratification, major factor. And our government is suppressing all of this, while at the same time using cyclonic rotations to slaughter other nations that don't toe the line for the U.S., like the Philippines, hit again and again and again with major hurricanes because they basically told the U.S. to get out of their country. Weather is a weapon. The biggest manipulator of weather, destructive manipulation, is the U.S., although many other countries are involved, including Russia and China. So when you hear the excuse that your fouled respiratory system is simply something Africa has done to us, think again. Use your common sense. The African dust storm excuse has been used over and over. In fact, I hear from many in the West, especially over recent weeks, who think the spraying's all magically stopped. They somehow relate this to Mr. Trump, which is astounding. Trump is nothing more than a puppet on the end of the power structure strings. But when you see silvery white skies toward the horizons, especially in the mornings and the evenings, especially if you live near the oceans, the Pacific Ocean, where they're spraying massively every day, as NASA satellite imagery proves, the spraying has not slowed down at all. In fact, when they create a massive high-pressure dome, as they have done over the West again, the spraying is not nearly as visible. The silvery white skies are. The ozone destruction is because the UV is so intense. But if you look off the oceans on satellite imagery, the spraying is staggeringly bad. And all that material blows in. The entire climate system is being disrupted. And there are so many interconnected parts of that. It's a complex scenario. And too many people try to make it simple. And in doing so, they miss the bigger picture. The high pressure dome over the West, frying the West, allowing the climate engineers to push the jet stream up over the West, down toward the East, making some cool zones in the eastern U.S. now. In fact, we just had a cool month in the Southeast, but let's consider this. The Southeast has had the warmest start to the year ever. And how soon people in the Southeast forget that, forget the heat, forget the fires. If they have a few cool weeks, suddenly everything's fine. It's not fine. It's weather whack-a-mole created by climate engineering. You can't have any legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without including, first and foremost, climate engineering. You can't do it. You must include climate engineering if your discussion about the climate is legitimate. But yet, let's consider, I want to revisit this one more time. The total disinformation campaign in regard to the state of the climate is being exponentially ramped up. And when you hear someone ranting about isolated surface cold events that are completely geoengineered using chemical ice nucleated cool down methods, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, yet you don't hear these internet sites and sources mention climate engineering at all, the red flags should go up. Internet disinformation sites and sources that are pushing the exact global cooling narrative that the power structure and the climate engineers want. Sources and sites that try to push the baseless and completely irrational conclusions that the human race and industrialized civilization hasn't hurt the planet or that the climate is fine. Sources and websites that, again, push the exact lies that much of the population desperately wants to believe, that the ongoing fossil fuel fiesta can keep magically going on, that the human race can continue to loot, plunder, and pillage the planet without consequence, that all the anthropogenic destruction to the planet has had no impact whatsoever. What a colossal and irrational lie. And those who are propagating this lie and those who are buying into it are absolutely harming the cause to expose and halt climate engineering. And in the case of many of these internet sites and sources I'm speaking about, they claim at the exact same time to be fighting climate engineering while they're towing the exact narrative the climate engineers and power structure would want them to tow. Connect the dots, look through a clear lens, don't believe something that doesn't make sense just because it feels good to believe it, just because you hate Al Gore. Bottom line is this, we would be lucky. We would be lucky if all we faced was global warming. What we face, what we're in fact now descending into, is more accurately, more scientifically termed an abrupt climate shift. We are in completely uncharted territory, and climate engineering, although it can create short-term, highly toxic cooldowns, it comes at the cost of an even worse planetary warming. It's adding more fuel to the fire overall, contaminating the entire planet and every breath we take in the process. So remember, silvery white skies, sign of particulates in the air. Off-coast spraying. There's an effort to be more covert with the climate engineering now, but it has not slowed down. Absolutely has not. And any notion that the Trump administration is intervening in this issue is patently false. In fact, the record shows that they are supporting climate engineering. Let's get to some hard headlines that I encourage anyone to investigate. Please don't believe me. The weather whiplash continues all over the globe. And in regard to the intense UV, first-hand report from Northern California, the UV is so intense, in the case of UVB, as much as 10 times higher than we're being told, 1,000% higher. The leaves are being burnt right off the black oak trees in our area. And those who try to deny would claim that when they see this in the city of Redding, for example, that this is just a result of parking lots and windshields. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense, because the trees weren't that way 10, 12 years ago. They're that way now. And they're that way in the forest where there's no parking lots and no windshields. The trees are burning up right on the leaves, rather, excuse me, are burning up right on the trees and falling to the ground like it was fall. Only normally, historically, in fall, leaves don't completely crisp out dead in the tree and fall to the ground. They discolor from the abscission hormone the tree drops the leaf. Not happening anymore. And this started happening in May of this year. No sooner did the leaves come out when some of them were browning out and falling off the trees. If we had no other issues at all, no other challenges to face, only the collapsing ozone layer, which is most directly linked to climate engineering, if that was our only problem, and that is hardly the case, we have an unimaginable list of challenges to face. But if the destroyed ozone layer was our only problem, we are on a very short time horizon. No ozone layer, no terrestrial life on Earth. That simple. And likely no aquatic life either. And this is here now. It's not off on the horizon. It's here now. But don't be paralyzed. Don't sit the bench and pretend there's nothing you can do, because there is. And if we could stop the climate engineering insanity, we could allow the planet to respond. The ozone layer would begin to rejuvenate itself. But we must change course. Headlines. Hopes of mild climate change dashed by new research from that report. The planet could heat up far more than hoped. As new work and new research shows, temperature rises measured over recent decades don't fully reflect the global warming that's already built into the pipeline. Why? Because the oceans have absorbed much of that heat, and that's something the climate engineers have relied on to try to force the oceans to absorb some of that heat. El Nino was suppressed for 13, 14 years at the start of this century by pushing the high pressure dome over the western U.S. and forcing the trade winds back toward the west. They effectively suppressed El Nino, bottling that heat up in the oceans. Did that really help anything? No. And on that note, even though the next headline I'll get to, does everybody remember the false headline that was pushed that there was a global warming hiatus? It was always false. At geoengineeringwatch.org, in our research, we stated emphatically that headline was false, simply data manipulation, and now we have vindication on that. Here's the headline. Major correction to satellite data shows 140% faster warming since 98. No hiatus, no slowdown. Faster, 140% faster warming. And people chose to believe what felt good, because we all love to hate Al Gore. So it feels good to pretend that nothing the human race has done to the planet is harming anything, except maybe climate engineering. And that's false. Climate engineering is a huge problem. It will remain my focus until it stops, or until I take my last breath. I will focus on exposing and stopping climate engineering. But the notion that that's the only damage we've done to the planet is totally irrational. So now we know that there was never a slowdown. In fact, the warming was actually speeding up rapidly. From that report, a new paper published in the Journal of Climate reveals the Earth's atmosphere has warmed much faster than scientists relying on satellite data had previously thought. Researchers have released a substantially revised version of their lower tropospheric temperature record after correcting the problems caused by decaying orbital satellites as well as other factors falsifying data, which is one of the primary methods by which the climate engineers help to sell their stock and trade to other countries as being successful. They just falsified the data. But the bottom line is this. Frontline research proves that there was never a slowdown, that the warming was continuing and accelerating. Final statement from this report. Climate skeptics have long claimed that satellite data shows global warming to be less pronounced than observable data collected on Earth's surface. This new correction to the RSS data substantially undermines that argument. The new data actually shows much more warming than has been observed on the surface of the planet. Now, let's consider that final statement. What have I said over and over in so many broadcasts? The readings that we monitor on the ground are consistently 3 and 4 and 5 degrees, sometimes more, above the official high temperature for the day. A substantial underreporting of the official high temperature. And why would the climate engineers and the power structure want that? Because it hides the problem. It keeps from panicking the population. It creates division and confusion. That helps the power structure. And it makes it appear as if climate engineering is actually helping to cool the planet when it is not. It's worsening an already horrific problem. Connect the dots properly. We need to have credible conclusions if we are to gain traction in this battle. Do real research and don't go along with some ideological rant from some internet site or source that has no facts to back up their conclusions, but simply states their ideology, an ideology that unfortunately too many people want to believe because it feels good, pacifies their fears. Pacifying your fears with lies won't save you. Consider that. Another headline to drive this point home. Huge explosion rocks Arctic tundra, leaving 165-foot deep massive crater in northern Russia. This is only one example. There are thousands of these craters forming. They're called pangos. It's thawing and releasing methane from the Arctic tundra. It's happening on the seafloor as well. Massive methane blowouts, expelling massive amounts of methane into the atmosphere that's covering the planet like a layer of glass. And this is why nighttime low temperatures are rising even faster than daytime highs. And no one talks about that. They ignore that part of the issue. And that's indicative of heat that's not escaping back into space at night. Why? Because of the greenhouse gas buildup. Yes, greenhouse gases are a problem. CO2 is necessary. Too much is bad. Like many things, like water, like a lot of things. If you're 10 feet underwater, water's not so good for you at that moment, is it? Same with CO2, and certainly with methane, nitrous oxide, all are filling the atmosphere and covering the planet like a layer of glass, retaining that nighttime heat. As I mentioned even 2 weeks ago at 12:30 a.m. in the morning, middle of the night, Redding in Northern California, still pushing 100 degrees, 95 degrees at that time of night. Nighttime temperatures are skyrocketing. Nighttime lows are skyrocketing upward. That's indicative of greenhouse gas buildup. Another headline, trillion ton. Listen to this headline because it's going to expand in the coming days. Trillion ton iceberg the size of Delaware is about to break off of Antarctica. Is that a sign of global cooling? A trillion ton iceberg the size of a U.S. state about to break off from that headline. And please research this. Don't believe me, research it. An enormous iceberg, more than 2,000 square miles in area, or nearly the size of Delaware, is poised to detach from one of the largest floating ice shells in Antarctica and float off to the Weddell Sea, south of the tip of South America. Now, the ice breaking off is not the biggest part of the problem. The problem is that ice is the foothold for the land-based glaciers. It's the cleat that holds them back, the buttress, if you will. Now the land-based ice is going to start sliding off at a much faster rate. Climate engineers doing everything they can to hide what's unfolding, using their media tools to hide it. Look at the frontline facts. That's all I'm asking. Another headline, Northern China suffering from worst drought on record. How can you have more droughts around the globe on a planet that's warming that should have more water in the atmosphere, not less? The laws of physics say so because of climate engineering. This doesn't mean there's not massive deluges, and those deluges are also going to get worse. As you build up pressure in the system, climate engineering is capping convection in many areas, thwarting evaporation, which is disrupting the hydrological cycle, so we have protracted drought all over, but in between we have massive deluges. Total disruption of the hydrological cycle, in addition to shredding the ozone layer, in addition to contaminating the entire planet. All the gifts from climate engineering. So, Northern China is suffering from worst drought on record. From the Beijing Times, officials governing a large area of Northern China say their region is suffering from the worst drought on record, leading to crops wilting, farmers and herders growing desperate to get water to farmlands, grasslands, animals, and their households. Remember what I said at the beginning of this broadcast? When we hear from the so-called experts, especially in the financial industry, who claim such and such will happen in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years with no mention, no consideration of the environment, they are completely disconnected from reality. And if you follow anything they say, you're following total delusion. Very soon, the majority of people on our planet will be concerned about their next bite of food and their next drink of water, and it's already unfolding. If there's a single leap we could make in the right direction, again, we're back to climate engineering, and think how that would catalyze populations, galvanize all over the globe into a common cause, exposing climate engineering that must be considered connected to every single weather cataclysm we have right now, not the sole cause of it. If we stop climate engineering, the weather backlash will be horrific and severe. I'm not blaming all weather cataclysms on climate engineering, of course, and it would be absolutely irrational to do so. The climate system is irreparably damaged, and when climate engineering stops, and it will stop at some point one way or another, the weather will unleash unimaginable fury. But every day that climate engineering continues, that fury that's coming will get worse and worse and worse. They're adding fuel to a fire that's already unimaginably massive. We are in uncharted water. So, back to populations all over the globe being harmed by climate engineering, whatever other challenges we face, whatever political theater that we see on CNN and Fox, and they're all complete theater, total theater. In fact, I saw Fox News and I watch all the channels. CNN, it's hard to watch, and there are lies about Trump and Russia all the time. But Fox also devoting 15 minutes to a parent who didn't want their child's gender put on the birth certificate. 15 minutes. But not a word, not a single word about, oh, by the way, the biosphere is imploding and we're not going to be here long in this current course. Not a word. If you're pacified by mainstream media, and I don't care what channel it is, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, they're all power structure controlled disinformation sources that are increasingly absurd in everything they say and do. And by the way, just because CNN attacks Trump doesn't mean Trump is not a part of the power structure. It's all part of the play, all part of the elaborate drama to catch people up in this sort of political idiocy and keep their eye off the horizon. That's what it's all about. Don't be so easily distracted. More headlines. 15 dead and 300,000 evacuated after floods in southern China as more rain is expected. What did I just say a few minutes ago? Total disruption of the hydrological cycle. Record cataclysmic crop-crushing drought, a stone throw away from biblical floods. That's what we have. Both these events occurring in China, very close to each other. Another headline, more than a month's rain in a few hours destroys New York State community. Drought and deluge being exacerbated by climate engineering. Here's another headline, this one from Japan. Nearly 2.5 months worth of rain in 9 hours forces 400,000 from their homes as rains unlike anything experienced before hit Japan. Drought and deluge, and this will get rapidly worse as the climate system comes apart, and it is coming apart. If you don't believe it, you will. Another headline, Mercury rising, heat wave in Bulgaria kills 5 with many more taken to hospital. Happening all over the globe. Massive heat waves, massive droughts, just the beginning. Climate system is coming apart. And back to these internet sites again that claim to be fighting climate engineering while at the same time towing the official narrative of the climate engineers that nothing's wrong with the planet, it's all a hoax. And what's the reason they cite many of these sites? They say because so-and-so said such-and-such at a certain time that hasn't come to pass, that proves it's not happening. If that's the best argument you can present for pretending that the planet's not in meltdown, you're on no ground at all. You're completely making it up as you go at that point. I'm asking people to do real research. Look around the globe. Investigate some of the headlines I'm disclosing on this show today. Look at frontline data. The biosphere is imploding. Ecosystems are imploding. The climate system is unraveling. Climate engineering is making it worse, not better. Another headline along those lines. Drought threatens crops and wildlife along Spain's Guadalquivir River. All over the globe, it's happening. Another headline. Heat plagues southeastern Europe. From that report, extreme temperatures shift east, bringing a brutal heat wave to the Balkans. I could go on and on with these types of headlines. Radical extremes in both directions, and these massive heat waves are being broken only when there's enough moisture for the climate engineers to chemically nucleate to lower surface temperatures to create a colder, denser layer of surface air that lowers the thermometers at the surface. But what's happening in the atmosphere? One of the pilots that I communicate with, Gulfstream pilot, now he's a commercial aircraft pilot, telling me again as recently as a few days ago, they are only seeing positive anomalies for temperature at altitude. What's that mean? It's only ever above normal, always above normal. The only reason you see surface radical shifts from record heat to sometimes cool down that creates record cold, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. So from any source, if they are not acknowledging, if they're talking about the climate in any context, if they are not including everything I'm telling you right now, they are giving you a half-truth at best. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification is the primary means by which some surface cool downs are being created on a planet that's descending into an abrupt climate shift, superheating. Another headline. As Arctic ice vanishes, new shipping routes open. What's the human response from certain financially minded sources? Great, the planet's in meltdown, we can get at even more oil and we can ship easier now. Who cares if the planet doesn't support life anymore? And that's the sort of mentality with some of these sources. From that report, as global warming melts sea ice across the Arctic, shipping routes once thought impossible, including directly over the North Pole, are opening up. Had a cruise ship go through the Arctic a year ago, a cruise ship. And this is completely unprecedented. We had some 400 vessels now go through the Northern Passage. Why? Because the ice is disappearing. And when you see a headline that focuses on one issue where some sort of Coast Guard ship had to rescue some other surface vessel that was clogged up in ice. Why? Because the ice is breaking up so fast and drifting to areas it shouldn't be that it created that incident. Look behind the spun headlines. Look at the real facts. Ice is breaking apart. Massive, massive pieces of ice are floating away and creating some problems elsewhere that some try to spin into a yarn that backs up their global cooling false narrative lie. And in fact, even with official statistics now, they are considering the surface ice extent to be a particular size, even though the ice is breaking up and floating away. The fact that surface slush is covering a larger area, they statistically try to paint that as being now an increase in the ice pack. Is that really an increase? If the ice breaks up and spreads into a surface slush, does that mean the ice pack's getting bigger? Of course not. What we're facing is an implosion of the cryosphere, the Earth's ice deposits. But again, back to the disaster capitalists that don't seem to comprehend the end of the planet's life support systems are staring us in the face. What is their mentality? We can ship more if the Arctic has no ice. And that would be a very big link in the chain, pushing us toward a full-blown Venus syndrome event on planet Earth. But they don't care. They can ship more. And what can we compare this to, the disaster capitalist mentality? What can we compare it to? How about this? If you leap off a 100-story building, You'll save considerable time by not having to take the elevator or the stairs to the bottom. You won't live through the trip, but you'll get there faster. That's their mentality. From nuclear bombs to nuclear power and meltdowns like Chernobyl and Fukushima, which are just the beginning, to the deepwater horizon in the Gulf of Mexico and countless other examples of total insanity. That's disaster capitalism, ignoring the consequences. Another headline, flood alert, billions could be homeless by the end of the century due to rising seas. Don't be pacified by that headline thinking, oh good, we have at least another 80 years. Not true. Not true. And this is where the academic community, climate science community, is completely betraying populations by pretending the problems are still somewhere off on the horizon. Not true. On the current course, mathematically speaking, on the current trajectory, none of us will be here by then, long before then. That's a statistical fact. If the current trajectories do not change, they are likely going to worsen. So when you see, again, a headline like this that claims such and such will happen in the next half century or century, if you're pacified by that, and that's the intent of the power structure by putting this stuff out, or the academic community who are really only concerned about their paychecks and pensions or not being fired, and there is legitimate threats against them as well. Some of their lives are in danger. Some have lost their lives. But the bottom line is there's no excuse for putting out this kind of disinformation. The problem is here now. I'm running out of time, and I want to make a point, a final point, about the mentality of the human race, and especially anybody in any White House administration. They're all part of the power structure. I want to use Fukushima as an example again. Record radiation detected at Fukushima nuclear plant. Multiple locations register highest levels ever measured. Radioactive materials and groundwater is spewing toward the ocean. While Fox News is showing us 15 minutes about a parent who didn't want to put his child's gender on the birth certificate. For those who believe that in regard to radiation, again, I'm using this as an example of the mentality of the human race. For those that believe the primary source of radiation contamination on the planet, for example, is Fukushima, dichotomous thinking. This, of course, is not the case. In addition to Chernobyl, there are plenty of nuclear facilities spewing out nuclear contamination. And then there's the U.S. Navy using highly radioactive depleted uranium all over the globe. I'm leading up to a point with Mr. Trump and his statement about the nuclear industry. Bear with me. So we have the Navy spewing nuclear contamination all over the globe. How bad is it really? And this is, listen to what I'm about to cover here, and then listen to my headline for Mr. Trump. Until recently, a long list of countries were openly dumping their nuclear waste into the oceans of the world. And is it any wonder that the oceans are dying by the day? And let's not forget this. For many reasons, nuclear waste is even more dangerous than nuclear fuel. The waste, the aftermath, even more dangerous. Here's the list of countries that were still, until recently, openly dumping their nuclear waste into oceans. And are we to believe any of these countries, including the United States of America, has stopped? USSR, Russia, Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland, UK, USA, Japan, New Zealand, South Korea, dumping their nuclear waste into the oceans openly. I'll do a post on this soon to drive this point home. Staggering mentality of the human race. And at the bottom of this report states this, some countries report the mass and volume of disposed waste, not just tonnage, but the U.S. did not report tonnage or volume of some 90,000 containers of nuclear waste. 90,000 containers dumped in the ocean by the United States of America. There you have it. Business as usual by a long list of countries, including the United States, using the oceans as a nuclear waste dump. And I hope everyone listening to this broadcast will stand back and take a pause and consider that when you're trying to pass on the truth to people who don't want to hear it, who don't want to know it, and such people give you the standard denial defense statement, quote, they, meaning those in power, would never do this to themselves, stop and consider just how completely ignorant such denialists are. How many things have, quote, they done to themselves, which unfortunately include the rest of us? Nuclear bomb detonations, nuclear waste dumping, manufacturing almost 150,000 toxic chemicals to cover the planet with another 2,000 more every year entering the equation, oil spills everywhere, fracking destroying groundwaters, and unquantifiable number of other insane actions. And at the top of the list, let's not forget the insane endeavor of climate engineering. So back to Mr. Trump, when we consider all the ocean-killing nuclear waste being dumped all over the planet, here's a headline. Trump announces efforts to revive nuclear energy and export more American coal. Business as usual to make America great again. Yes, Mr. Trump, just like Obama and all the rest. Trump is a part of the power structure, just like all the rest, going back a very long way with the exception of perhaps Mr. Kennedy. The business as usual by power structure mentality. Here's a few final Trump statements to consider before I'm out of time. Direct quote from Mr. Trump made last week, "The West will never be broken, our values will prevail." Whose values, Mr. Trump? Yours and all those like you that have looted, plundered, and pillaged the planet and its people for your own purposes? Those are not my values. Our time is rapidly running out. Very soon, economies won't matter. Retirements won't matter, and much more. The next bite of food and the next drink of water will become the top priority. Don't believe it? You will. Wait and see. If the human race remains on the current course, we will soon arrive at the destination we are headed for, and that's planetary omnicide. All are needed in the effort to overturn the current reality of total insanity. All are needed to prioritize the fight for the greater good, and there are further instructions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Make your voice heard while you can, while it yet matters. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.